told for HRT? What to do if your doctor says to stop your hormones after 70? I'm Dr. Valerie from Progress Your Health.
And I'm Dr. Mackey from Progress Your Health. So this question came in through our website again, through Ask a Doctor. This question is from Mary. You can tell by the title obviously there's an age-related question in there. Why don't you go ahead and read the question and we'll just dive right in.
All right. So from Mary, question. I'm having a hard time finding anyone to help me with HRT. I've been on BIEST for many years, 20 plus-ish years. I've had a hysterectomy. I'm now 76 and want to reassess. My BIEST troche is a standard 80-20. I have some breast tenderness after dosing, and I find I'm putting on weight too easily. So wonder if I should try a 90-10 ratio. I also think I should go back to a cream to avoid liver exposure. My gynecologist, of course, says there's no reason for me to be on any HRT at all at my age, the risks, blah, blah, blah. What tests would I request and what ranges should I be looking for? Or maybe that's not even the right question.
Oh, well, those are good questions.
Great questions.
Mm-hmm. This has come up for you and I quite a few times. Like one of the first questions a woman will ask when she's starting HRT is, you know, how long do I have to be on the hormones? Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of an arbitrary question that it's dependent on the woman, really dependent on their body and their symptoms. So what do you think of Mary's question? Obviously, age is an issue for the gynecologist. So what do you think of that just in general?
Well, I think overall, if you're on HRT, if you're on, hormone replacement therapy, especially bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, you can be on it for the rest of your life. I do feel like that. But I do think that there are some conventional HRTs that are pretty strong that you wouldn't necessarily want to be on long term that, if you needed to be on that, that's necessary. Going through menopause, great. And then maybe transitioning more to a BHRT or a BIEST, which I feel is very gentle. So I would say, for Mary, there's a few things to kind of break down with this, but she's already been on it for 20 plus years.
Yeah. I for you and I wouldn't be thrilled to start a 76-year-old on hormones for the first time, right?
No, no.
If she's been, 25, 26 years postmenopausal and then starting hormones right off the bat, like that doesn't sound exciting. I could see where a gynecologist or any doctor would be a little bit apprehensive. You and I would be apprehensive with that. But if she's been on them for 20 years, her body is used to having those hormones around. I don't see any reason why, like you said, why she'd have to stop. I mean, that doesn't, I know I'm not thrilled about her, the troche idea, right? And as a fact that she is having a little bit of breast tenderness probably says that she could, as she alludes to, she could transition to a BIEST cream instead of the troche.
Yeah, so a troche is a, for those of you that don't know, is a hormone that you put in it's supposed to be sublingual. You put it on the inside of your cheek and it dissolves over, a few minutes. But a lot of times it does end up going down the throat and being a little bit more, while it is sublingual, you can also digest it through through the digestion as well. So I do find that women that do troches do tend to have breast tenderness, so you have to reduce down the dose. So I actually agree with this, that switching Mary over from a BIEST troche to a cream would be even more gentle. Because just as you were speaking earlier, if I had a woman that, coming in, she's 76 years old, 75 years old, and she's been, no hormones for 25 years since she went through menopause, I wouldn't start her on hormones because she's not going to feel good. That's one thing is when her body is used to not having these hormones for so long and then you introduce them, they really just don't feel good. Now, there are ways to use HRT for a woman in their 70s, like we've done before, maybe vaginally to help with UTIs or manage that vaginal vault microbiome or for vaginal dryness or vaginal atrophy. You could easily do that, but you're not really putting it necessarily in the systemic body, you're using it more applied locally or even on the skin. You can use estriol on the skin. It's great for wrinkles and building up collagen. You could use HRT in that way for someone that's many years postmenopausal. But like you said, Mary's case, she's been on hormones for over 20 years. So she's 76. She must have started sometime right after menopause in her early 50s I would say taking them completely away from her, especially a troche, I don't think she would feel good.
I would agree. Like I said, starting them late, probably not an ideal situation, but the fact that she's maintained them, her body's used to having them. As far as the gynecologist and talking about risks, Now, there are some risks just in general, right? Using hormone replacement. We don't need to get too far into that.
The rabbit's hole, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't think even at that point, I mean, cancer, yes. Are we talking breast cancer? Are we talking uterine cancer? She had a hysterectomy. So from that standpoint, uterine cancer is really off the table, mm-hmm. right? Breast cancer, I don't think there's a direct correlation between HRT use and breast cancer. I think that's more of a, that's been the fear for the last, 25 years, but I don't think that that's a real, a true risk from, hormones causing cancer. I mean, that idea or that concept is fading very rapidly.
As well as the cardiovascular theory too, saying, mm-hmm. these hormones are going to, promote cardiovascular disease in a postmenopausal woman, where right. really not having your hormones is what increases up your cardiovascular risk factors.
You said something lately that menopause is, menopause is the number one risk factor for age-related disease.
Yeah, for chronic disease, doesn't it make sense? I mean,
sure, yeah.
Those hormones drop, so I wouldn't say the risks, I love how she puts blah, 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 but because we know how important hormones are, the one thing, like she was saying, the breast tenderness, which that can happen when that mm-hmm. estrogen is going through the digestion, or maybe the estrogen is a little bit too high. And then the weight gain too would be something to balance there. So I wouldn't necessarily say Mary needs to go off of her hormones. It'd probably just be like, she's asking, what tests should I run? Yeah. So maybe running some blood work or some labs to evaluate her current hormone regime here. And then also possibly tweaking it to have it match up for her blood work or labs, and then also her symptoms.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. Like, really the only one that would really be necessary, like an FSH level wouldn't really be that necessary. An estradiol right after she takes her troche would be interesting because she is getting some breast tenderness. So I'd be curious of what that level is right after she takes it.
It's probably pretty high, right? Yeah. She would put the troche and then go. And then I would say wait like 4 hours, 4 to 6 yeah. hours, then go get your blood drawn for estradiol, not for total estrogens. A lot of doctors will test the total estrogens. That doesn't tell you anything because that's looking at your estrone, your estradiol, and it's always so sensitive when you're looking at the total estrogens that it always looks like it's in normal range. Yeah. Now, if we did the estradiol level, so E2, estradiol about 4 hours after she used her troche, her bias troche, then if it were too high, especially over 100, then we definitely need to back that down.
Yeah.
I don't like static dosing any of the estradiol levels to be over 100. Now, when you're doing rhythmic dosing, which is pretty cool, you can have those levels go up real high and then they come down because you're mimicking, basically the ovarian cycle. But I would say, testing an estradiol level would be important. Like you said, you may not even need to do an FSH or a follicle stimulating hormone, but doing an estradiol level, I think, would be really cool.
Yeah. And in a situation like this, you'd want her numbers to be relatively, her estradiol level to be sort of on the low side. You're not trying to push her numbers up because that's where she's not going to feel better by having too much, or it's going to cause some of those other issues, taking that age into consideration. But you and I both have women in their later 60s and 70s that have been using hormones for 20 plus ish years. And I think that as more women are using HRT, this kind of situation is going to continue to happen over and over, because women now in their 70s, I mean, you even see movie stars and celebrities and things. I mean, they're aging at such a different pace than what they did when you and I were little, that you're good luck trying to take hormones away from a woman that's 76 and vibrant and healthy, just because there's this perceived risk that doesn't really even exist.
No, I agree. So I would say, just like what you were saying, is if we were going to do some blood work on Mary and she took her troche, they have these different reference ranges for estradiol, but like I said, I wouldn't want it over 100. She'd probably feel the best just, off the cuff looking at, just in our experience with working with women like Mary, probably around like 40 would probably be, for an estradiol level, would probably be pretty good. 40 to 60, going over 60, that would right. probably make her feel a little puffy and
increase
almost
that
PMS-y.
Increase that breast tenderness.
Kind of puffy, munchy, kind of like that PMS feeling. Or I think probably more between 40, not going over 60 on her estradiol level would be good for her. Now, what's interesting here is I have a feeling that it's probably higher than that because she's doing the troche, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't necessarily say go to a 90-10. I think going to a cream would be really yeah. nice. Yeah. That would be just a nice, gentle transition. The cream doesn't go through the digestion. It can pulsate out into the system. If you put it on like a nice fatty pad, like the inner thigh, is I think that would be really gentle for someone like Mary.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree. Just a little bit of hormone there. Now, granted, we do have a few that are in their 70s. At least I have a couple that are in their 70s that are doing rhythmic dosing. So literally women in their 70s having a period on a monthly basis. The ones that I have actually have their uterus. Now, on the surface, that sounds very odd, right? Why would a woman in their 70s be having a period? But because they've been doing rhythmic dosing for literally 20 years, their body is used to that. And those women in particular, they're actually all very, the ones that I have are actually very, very healthy women. They're not on any blood pressure medication, no cholesterol medication, no other medication except their hormones. From an aging perspective, I mean, that might, the fact that they're not on any other type of prescriptions is actually the stranger part, that they're not on all the prescriptions that everyone else in their mid to late 70s would typically be on at that point.
Oh, yeah. Isn't there like an average of somebody over 55 or over 70 on so many?
Yeah, it's like 5 or 6 meds or 4 to 6 meds. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's why we're going to see it in our own practice that as we've had these patients for a long time, they're going to transition into their 70s. And I have one patient that's just turned 80 and she's still on hormones. Mm-hmm. She does not want to stop them. She helps her sleep. Now, granted, she's having some fatigue issues. She's been having them for quite a while. She is 80. You know, I have to remind her, I says, you are 80. You know, she does have some sensitivity to different supplementation, but she's, you know, she's very adamant about continuing her hormones because which is what she told me, they help with her daily quality of life. They help with her sleep. They help, even though she's tired, they do help with her energy and just, you know, feeling as good as she can on a daily basis. I think
she's on the rhythmic dosing.
No, this one, the 80-year-old, she's just on static dosing. Yeah. There's a few other ones that are in their 70s. One newly, I think 71, one is like 76, the same age as this one. But we would never start someone that was in their 70s on rhythmic dosing.
No.
What you're saying, that's where you would do a kind of a lower dose bias of some sort, just to kind of put some into the system, but not not overwhelm it with too much.
Because mm-hmm. you are thinking here, at 76, you're thinking, if anything, I would say her HRT is helping kind of prevent some of those chronic age-related diseases, sure. especially bone density, how important that is. And then just feeling good. Like when you feel good, you want to go exercise.
Yeah.
You think you take someone's hormones away from them and they're feeling, and they will, when you do take someone's hormones away from them, they will go through kind of the menopausal symptoms. Cause I get that question all the time. Well, I'm just going into menopause. I want to take the HRT to get through menopause. It's not like you get through menopause, it reduces the symptoms, but you take that HRT away, the symptoms are going to come, whether you're 76 or you're 56. You can titrate it down. Maybe someone's like, I don't want to do this anymore. What can I do? And then you can titrate it down to reduce down the level of having the symptoms there. But you take that away, she's going to have some symptoms.
Yeah, even in Mary's case, going from a troche to a cream, she could have some, a little bit of withdrawal symptoms there just by changing the dosing form.
You would just change the amount of hormones. Like if she's, you just raise up the bias dose.
Well, right, starting off, if she's, having some breast tenderness and now she's going to a cream, she could even have a little bit of an adjustment period just with mm-hmm. that, even though she's still using a bias, but going from an oral dose, blood level tends to be a little higher.
Yeah.
Transdermal cream dose, blood level tends to be a little lower. She could have a little bit of a readjustment just with that alone.
Yeah, so it would be with someone like Mary, you would have to kind of work with her, not like, here's some cream, I'll see you in six months or something. It would be kind of a higher dose of the cream to bridge coming from that troche off of the troche. Right. So a higher dose biased cream. And then over a few months, start to reduce that down to really find the right level for her.
And maybe you wouldn't even need to reduce
it. She feels good, The levels look good. Because that would be, because everyone's always saying, oh, these risks or this is what's going to happen. They don't understand as a human, let's say you did take the hormones away and you felt kind of crummy. Then I'm not going to go exercise. Maybe I'm going to go eat some junk food because mm-hmm. my dopamine dropped down and I want some ice cream. And then, then you're kind of having, you know, risk factors involved there. So, you know, it's all trying to find that balance here. And well, it sounds like Mary seems very healthy. You know, she's concerned about, you know, her weight. She wants, she obviously probably has some vitality, and she sounds like she's very savvy with understanding hormones.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was just thinking that as we were talking, like, would you tell a 76-year-old man to stop his testosterone? And I don't think that anybody would, you know, so why, if you, because I think, you know, men in their 70s and 80s could really benefit from using some testosterone, maintain muscle mass and all those things we've talked about before. That doesn't seem, for some reason, doesn't seem as odd, you know, letting a man stay on his TRT as it would be for telling a woman, like, why do you, what's the difference? Why would you need to stop?
Yeah.
If a man can stay on testosterone, why can't a woman stay on estrogen? Because I think you're right. I think there's a, and honestly, our practice is sort of a, in a, and every other hormone doctor practices out there, you see your patients sort of aging in a much different way than the than the typical population, right? People are literally aging slower. They're maintaining vitality. Now, the one thing she talks about is weight gain. Some blood tests that I would be sort of concerned about is her her insulin status and if she's metabolically healthy or not. Okay, so hemoglobin A1C, fasting insulin, because if she's gaining weight, that, you know, potentially means that her insulin, I don't think it's necessarily related to the troche if her weight is consistently going up, because hormones really don't do that. But if she is 76 and becoming more insulin resistant, that plus hormones is not really a great combination. I don't I don't like that idea
too much. Don't want to have an elevated insulin level and be on hormones. That's like, it's kind of like, you know, like when I have patients come in and they are metabolically unhealthy, you don't, they're like, oh, I want to go on some hormones. It's like, that's not going to solve your, so, you know, we get to get, you know, get down to foundation, try to reduce down that insulin, reduce down that inflammation. And then you use the hormones as kind of like frosting on the cake. Like it's the accoutrements. It's not the, you know,
the metabolic health needs to be sort of managed and dealt with. And someone 76, I mean, that's a, you know, prime time for diabetes. You know, so looking at that, insulin sensitivity piece would be the labs that I would focus on in this person. I wouldn't be too worried about the estradiol unless, like you said, it's 75 plus or over 100. Yeah. 76-year-old is, you know, just in general with static dosing doesn't need to have a blood level that high.
No, no. And it's, it, like I said, it's about the balance and how she's feeling. And I like how, you know, Mary was talking about, you know, the troche, because we know it goes through the digestion, that has to go through the liver, and then you create these estrogen metabolites, and some of those estrogen metabolites can actually cause the breast tenderness. So switching to a cream would kind of help down-regulate the estrogen metabolites. So I think that that's a really good idea.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think it's a matter whether she has to stop or not. I think she's right about the switching to a cream. The ratio I don't think needs to change. Like you said, just sort of compensating. So you go from a troche to a cream, you're going to raise that bias dose a little bit to sort of compensate for the change in dose form. And that's a lot of things that's, you know, not really, you know, thought about. I could see someone trying to do that and giving her an extremely low dose, right? And then it's like a, like I said earlier, then it could be a really big transition going from the troche having a higher blood level to a really low transdermal cream,
like,
because
nothing.
Because someone's afraid of, you know, her age, and then she feels even worse, right? So then she just have to use either more cream or the dose would have to go up. I do see a lot of sort of dosing, what'd you call it? Dosing fear out there that everyone is afraid to give a little too much bias.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So any other, you know, any other issues or any other little tidbits to add for Mary's question?
No, I think this was a great question.
Yeah, and honestly, I think this one, even in our practice, because we've had people that are, you know, 50s and 60s, and now they're going to be transitioning, these things are going to keep coming up. You know, I don't, you know, long-term study-wise, I mean, our practice, and like I said, every other hormone doctor practice is sort of the same. If we knew there was if there was bad outcomes, we would have already adjusted and modified a long time ago, and then so would every other hormone doctor out there. You know, first is do no harm. The last thing we'd want to do is be putting people in harm's way. But like you said, the hormones themselves, I think, is sort of a way to reduce the harm in some respects. So I'm sure these will, you know, keep coming in, these types of questions. And, you know, if you're on YouTube, you can comment down below. As I mentioned, this one came from our website at Ask the Doctor. Go ahead and visit our website. You can ask it anonymously there. We did change her name on this one. Her name is not Mary in real life, but you know, easy enough. Anything else to add? We good on this one?
No, yeah. Thank you, Mary, for writing your question. Anybody else, please ask us lots of questions. We love to answer them.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Valerie.
Take care. Bye-bye.